Welcome to another episode of the Family Goals Podcast with Davey Pollock and Pastor Jay. Today we're getting into the real life situation. And we're going to share a little bit about Lindsay's health situation.
Yeah, so advice too about other areas of life and kids and family worship and more or less notes of Pastor Jay being used.
We get into some nutrition.
Yeah, we're rolling, baby. Let's go.
So we'll start this one. I want to.
So you're telling me this week, like, because last week we got like so off track. I mean, we literally got to no part of your notes. So I think you need to do a better job. You need to do your job. Your job is to steer the ship and to get us started and to give us some nuggets and some good stuff. Obviously, you lost in golf last week. Not a big deal. We don't have to worry about that. Like, we're not going to discuss that. I'm not even going to mention that. Like, that's behind us.
Bringing that up, huh?
Yeah. But
is this like prophecy?
I'm just saying, like, what? Steer us, Captain.
Now, I know the elders of Greystone Church.
Are you calling them old people?
No, the spiritual leaders, the spiritual advisors.
All right.
The staff team, they're aware, and your close friends, obviously, your family and your close friends, we're aware of Lindsay's health situation. But I thought it would be good to share that with the podcast because I think we just want as many people praying as possible. And so we have thousands of people who listen to the podcast, watch the podcast. Let's talk about Lindsay's situation. You want to open up a little bit about that?
Yeah, and Lindsay's my wife, for people that don't know. This is pretty cool. I texted her this morning. I'm like, hey, babe, Pastor Jay said he was going to ask me about your surgery. And she said, yeah, you can talk about it. She said, I don't care. She said, but just don't be dramatic. That is the definition of Lindsay Pollock, my wife.
She doesn't want, but it is dramatic. I mean, it is serious.
Yeah. So she's had a spot. I'll give you a context. She's had headaches for years. And so, we knew that there was something on her brain, like a little mass. And then it hadn't grown, so they weren't overly concerned about it. They kept an eye on it, they kept monitoring. And then this past time when we went back, it had grown. And so that caused a little bit of concern. So we figured that out, and then we had to wait a little bit and finish football season. She wanted to wait to finish football season because there's so much that she's responsible for. And so it's pretty typical for my wife. She's putting everyone else first before.
Mm-hmm. And she wanted to get through Christmas.
Yeah, get through Christmas and all the stuff that comes with it. And then basketball was coming up, and she don't want to miss anything. I mean, mm-hmm. That's the way she's wired. So we figured that out, and so they had to go in and do a brain biopsy. And so,
but she has a tumor on her brain.
Yeah, so now it's classified as a brain tumor.
Okay.
And then so they got a, you know, drill a little hole in the skull, shaved a little bit of her head, which I was just telling the doctor the whole time. I was like, please shave a good strip. Like, I kept saying it over and over. I was like, give me a good,
you
like,
have no compassion.
No, I was like, I want her to have like a nice little strip. Like, and it was a woman doctor. So like, she turned it to the side, braided it, and like took a little strip, and it folds right back over and you can't even see it. Like, crazy. So I was hoping that we had a nice little hairdo issue, but I was just kidding. I'm just keeping it light with her. But so they went in, they did it, and we had a lot of people that were praying for us, obviously at the church, and a lot of people that knew about it. Really cool. We had a prayer like deal at the church, and a ton of people came.
Really?
Oh yeah, it was awesome. Ton of people came and prayed, and we just prayed for her before it, and
that's a humbling position to put yourself in.
It is.
Like, for Lindsay to have like all these people show up at the church to lay hands on her and pray over her. I mean, she was probably a little bit feeling uncomfortable with that.
Are you kidding me? When we pulled up, she was like, I hope that there's people here for something else. It's not just all these cars for me. But as a husband, it's a good reminder that I'm not in control, and like, she is mine. Mm-hmm. And I love my wife, and like, when she told me about it, like, where your brain goes is crazy, and it's nuts, and it's not fun. And then,
well, I remember when she first found out, we had recorded a podcast, and I was leaving your house, and I was talking to Lindsay, And then you were about to go work out, and she's like, "Hey, I need to talk to you real quick." But I could tell
something
was off with Lindsay, because she seemed a little bit not her normal self.
Yeah, and I guess when you got that on your on your mind, it does. But so it's been kind of wild. You know, we've prayed through it. I can tell you this: I've never prayed for something so fervently and so
when
consistently.
You go through something challenging and difficult, it does increase your prayer life.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, I can't tell you how many times a day that, and it was very specific for her. You know, like it was a good reminder. I don't do it enough as much as I should for my spouse, and you know, just wanting health. And so we wanted to, you know, her biggest thing was, she was like, just the pain. Cause she woke up from her ACL, you know, 4 years ago, whenever it was. And she was super cold and in a lot of pain. The nerve block didn't work. And, so she got out of surgery and she took Tylenol that night, and she is taking nothing since. And this is, you know, they're drilling in your lid, you know, like, so it's a big deal. And she had no pain. No setbacks. It was really, really fantastic. It went as good as it possibly could go, but it's also been fun to watch her. And, my wife's a rock. I mean, she's a stud, and just to watch her, she didn't bat an eye. She didn't flinch. She didn't cry. I mean, she was like, "I am fully, fully secure with what God's going to do."
And so it didn't question her faith in
it. No. That
increased her faith.
If anything, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was like, I know there are going to be things that are really difficult, and she was like, "I have faith. I'm not worried about it. I know God's in control. Like, this is not going to rock. I'm not going to waste a tear." And she didn't, and she stayed strong, and we've got nothing but good news back so far. So that's great. There's still more work to be done.
So they've sent the biopsy off to be
tested. And we know the first stages of it is pretty good, because we would know something already. But they say that they got to look for MS and other things that are kind of like outlandish or not normal. But I think so far that means we avoid a lot of the stuff that could be, you know, that could be on the surface level, the cancers and stuff like that mm-hmm. You don't want to hear. I mean, you don't want to hear that. But man, it's been fun to watch the people in your life rally around, and the people that in your life, you know, praying for your wife and how much that means. And it was really awesome.
I bet you this rocked a lot of people, because Lindsay is so many other people's rock.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying?
She is.
Had an effect on all y'all's friends.
I've never met someone that prays more for people than her. I've never met someone that shows up for people more than her. Like, she's got a real gift, man. Like, it's inspiring. Like, you go look at her prayer journal every day, and I couldn't do that in a million years. And it's like 3 pages, bro. Like, it's crazy. I mean, and she always has tabs on what's going on and who's having a procedure and like what the news is. And she's just like, she is, she's the best I've ever seen at that. Like, she's, so it was fun it was really cool as a family to watch so many people. Like, and here's the part of it that I don't like, but like, I get a lot of attention because of what I did and, you know, all that stuff. So people talk about me all the time. We get to talk about Lindsay all the time. Like, she prefers it that way. Mm-hmm. But it was really cool to have so many people in my life that was just like, "Dude, she's my girl. Like, she's my rock. She's a stud. I want to be like her." Like, friends that are her age, you know, like, that's, I want to grow up to be like that. And so, you know, puts everything in perspective. It makes you appreciate what you have more. I mean, you hug them tighter. You enjoy moments more. Like, it's all good things, but it's, you know, like, it's good to know that no matter what it was, God's still in control. Mm-hmm. We're not scared. We're not worried. There are fleeting moments that you think about things that you don't want to think about, but you know, her faith never wavered, and it was fun to see, and it was fun to walk through as a family.
Yeah. Well, when you hear that someone has a brain tumor, your mind
doesn't
immediately
sound good, does it?
Goes to cancer. And I know when you first told me about it, we want to get the word out and get everyone praying. And then I was asking you, before we put on the church prayer list, have you told your kids yet? And you had not told your kids yet. It's like, well, we probably don't want to put on the prayer list.
Yeah.
Because, you know, hundreds of people or someone's going to end up saying something. So how did it go when you, when y'all did, y'all wanted to wait and talk to Nicholas and Leah right before, right before she went into surgery?
We didn't. She did.
She wanted to
I wanted to tell them right away.
So how did y'all tell the kids, and then how did they respond, and then what was the – how did that draw y'all closer as a family?
Yeah. So she was absolutely right. I was like, you know, let's walk through this together. Let's pray through this together. Let's – and – but that was – you know, we had 3 or 4 weeks until surgery. So she was like, let's not get them worrying about this for 3 to 4 weeks. And she was right, like usual, which is why I listen. Mm-hmm. But she – we told, so we waited a while until we got closer, and we told you and our friends, and because we, I told way more people than her. Like I told, I told as many people as I could that I know would be praying for, because I know what that means and I know how much that makes a difference. And so, we told the kids Saturday before the Monday procedure.
Okay.
And it went as Lindsay is the most like calm, chill. The conversations that we've had about like real things. And I'm talking about like our kids will ask about like sex or something so crazy that would make most people feel very uncomfortable. Lindsay literally is just like, yeah, it's like this. I mean, there's no, she doesn't get awkward. She doesn't get
She's
weird.
She's more like a matter of fact about
She can handle whatever it is, and she'll talk about it very matter of fact. And so she did the most eloquent way of describing what the way she was going to describe it to literally make it look like it was absolutely not a big deal whatsoever. I mean, it was incredible. Like you talk about being a wordsmith and like, and it went the way I thought it would. I wasn't worried about Nicholas because Nicholas is a boy. Like we're big, we're dumb animals. Like we
not as emotional,
not as emotional. Don't think about things as much as girls. And then Leah, who's totally different in personality, and she was super inquisitive, and it bothered her a lot. So, but it was fun. It was fun to talk through that. It was good, but it was cool to watch her brain work because she knew the questions to ask. Well, if they're biopsying it, why, if it wasn't a big deal, they would, why would they be biopsying it?
Yeah, like and she's not necessarily buying what Lindsay was selling.
Oh no, she wasn't. Which was interesting, because she was like, "Well, what about this? What about that? What about that?" Like she was very much like, "Wait a minute, no. So talk more about that then. If it's not that big of a deal, well, why? If it's not that big of a, if it's just a like a little pin size incision, then why are they cutting your hair? You know, like she was very, she was very much you know inquisitive and asking questions. So it was fun to. To walk through that and then talk about like, you know, I mean, our health is, you know, it can be gone quick, man. Like our life changes quick. Circumstances change quick. These are things that happen, you know, and we don't know why, but we absolutely are not scared and we're not worried about it. And so hopefully, you know, some of that walking through that now they've seen it and hopefully they can walk through it, you know, and they don't freak out when they hear something that happens And you realize that stuff like that's going to come your way, and hopefully you give them a little blueprint of how to deal with it.
Well, I think the fact that Jodie Whittaker suddenly passed away a little over a year ago, that probably had some type of impact on them.
I mean,
because they haven't lost anyone. I mean, Jodie was 40 years old. I mean, 40, she's young. So to see someone else who's in your friend group pass away a year ago, it seemed like that would elevate the concern.
Yeah, and like elevate your concern and I think strengthen, hopefully strengthen your resolve because you've seen how it's went since then and you've seen how people responded. And so I think that, I think those, like Jody's passing, obviously it affected my wife. I mean, my wife is a year later, she was she's a totally different person and she has sprinted towards Jesus. Like, and she was really prepared for this because she's been through something really, really hard. And I think those, we all have those scars and those, and sometimes you can see them and sometimes you can't. Like sometimes you got the physical scar that you know exactly what you went through, but a lot of times you got that mental one that, mm-hmm. that really tried you, that really made you ask difficult questions, that made you sprint towards God and rely on Him in a more of a way than you ever have, and dig deeper and read more and learn more and grow more. And I think that's been I've seen the greatness that's flowed out of that horrible tragedy that I'd never wanted to go through and wouldn't want to go through again. But you've seen so much of the goodness of God. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, those trials, those tribulations, those things that have happened, we learn from.
I was listening to John Maxwell. I can't remember the podcast that he was being interviewed on, but he was sharing that he had interviewed or asked a question to all of these leaders. When is the time in your life that you've grown the most, that you've developed the most, that you've learned the most? And he said every single person he interviewed, without exception, shared a difficult
time
that they went through. So it wasn't in the he was talking about we don't learn in the successes, we learn in the failures. And he was saying grow and learn in the valleys of life, but make decisions in the mountains of life
about what you're going to be and who you're going to be. So you don't mm-hmm. so you don't have to make the decision in the valley.
Like, don't make the decision in the valley, because yeah. that's a difficult emotional, it's not normal, but learn in the valleys.
Yep.
Make your decisions on the mountaintops.
Yeah. And we've talked about that before too, is, and to tell your kids and to live it, like, make your decisions of who you are, make the decisions of what you stand for, like what you want to be. So you don't have to make it when it's really hard. So you don't mm-hmm. have to make it when you're in a trial or when you're in temptation. Like, if you're going to be somebody that stands for X, Y, and Z, and this is something you don't want to be a part of, if you know that going in, it makes it really easy. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes it very simple. And you've talked about that for years. But
you make the decision ahead of time.
You make
which I think is a brilliant. We talk about this a lot with your, like, with your diet and your eating,
your
exercise, like even going to church on Sundays. Like it's not a choice. Like, we're going to church on it's Sunday. We're going to church. We don't have to decide. Like, you predetermined decisions that set yourself up for success.
So circumstances don't affect your decision making. Like, if I'm hard headed and I'm bullish, and this is why I think goals are so important in life. Like, you make goals because alignment affects assignment, right? Like, I make goals because this is what I want to do. This is who I want to be. And with that goal in mind, I can accomplish great things. Without a goal, it's really hard. I don't know who I am. I don't know what I am. It's one of those things that drives me nuts with my kids. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, what's our plan? What's our purpose? And you forget what it's like being a kid. And my wife tells me that all the time, and I do. And that's why that's been one of my prayers for a while, is like, help me to see life through their eyes so I can be more impactful to them. But like, how do I make sure that this is important to me? This is who I am. Like, this is what I'm going to stick to. So when I do feel a little bit weaker or a little bit tired, or something slowed me down and something's come up that's really like required a lot of my attention, energy, and effort, like, no. Like with my diet, like you said, that's what it is. Like, I'm, and again, I have a new goal right now that I'm doing, and it's working really well. I don't eat till 4 o'clock every day.
Like, are you doing intermittent fasting?
Yeah. And I've done it for years, but I've never done this long where I've got to, like, I don't eat till 4 and I have a 6-hour window. So that's,
so you eat between 4 and 10.
Yeah.
And then you don't eat after that.
That's it. But like,
how's that working out for you?
It's great. But and listen, I haven't done this that long, so I don't deserve any credit for anything, but like, that's a plan that when I get hungry at 12 o'clock, like, I know exactly what I'm doing here. Right. And that's a stupid example. It's a lesser example, but like, I know what my goal is, so I can accomplish it. I can think about the goal when I'm hungry. I can think about the goal when I'm hurting. Like, those things, I know what I want to accomplish and what I want to do. And I think the number one thing what we do is in life is when we mess up and when we jump, now we're all out. So like, so many people in life, they mess up one time on their diet or whatever they're doing. Like, forget it. Forget that crap. No. Jump back on the next day. Mm-hmm. Like, I messed up. Screw that. That day's gone. Like, let's start again today and let's get to our goal. Like, just because we messed up doesn't mean we need to stop. And so many of us stop. That's what we do. We stop.
Now, why are you doing the intermittent fasting? What are you hoping to get out of this?
We're going like, this is a nutrition podcast now. I think there's a couple things that happens for me. when I have to restrict myself from eating, I like it because I get to say no to things and I get to have insane discipline, which I really, really love. And that insane...
Are you doing this for spiritual reasons?
Both. But that insane discipline folds over into every aspect of my life. Mm-hmm. Like if I know I can walk by this at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It ain't hard to walk by it at 8. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. And so there's tons of research with intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting, you know, it gives your body time to rest. If you're always eating and always feeding your body, like it's always working. And so it's really good to give your body space so then it can work on some of the other stuff that's been laying around that you're not working on. But the discipline that comes with it, you shorten your feeding window, which is great. So even if you eat a big lunch, a big first meal, a big second meal, a big third meal, you still restricted so much eating that your caloric intake's not that high. So, I mean, the number one thing with diet nutrition, and again, this is a nutrition podcast, but it's a math equation.
We can talk about anything on our podcast.
That's true. It's our podcast. It's our podcast. You're listening. It's calories in versus calories burned. Uh-huh. It's in the end, it's a math equation. That's all it is. So do I move enough and burn enough calories for what I'm eating? And if you're not losing weight and you want to lose weight, it's because you're eating too much. It's because your habits aren't good enough. Like you need to move more and probably eat less. But everybody controls what they eat. Like, I promise you, 90% of y'all are not going to go in the gym and be able to keep up with me. Not going to happen. Maybe higher percentage than that. But everybody controls this lever to their mouth. Like, it's that simple. It's the easy part. Diet is the easy part.
Now, are you still working out easy in part. The afternoons?
And in the mornings.
So how do you have the energy? That's my brain. I have to eat something to have the energy to work out.
That's a weak mindset. Like, I'm still eating.
I have a very weak mindset.
I've seen chocolate covered blueberries. He sent me a picture of them over the holidays.
Well, you saw all the stuff that people gave me for Christmas. Like the church, they're always giving us food. Like
we got to do better, church. We got to do better. Get them like t-shirts and a treadmill or something.
What did I send you? It was like chocolate.
Chocolate covered blueberries and then other stuff.
There's all kind of chocolate covered stuff.
No, if you're
eating. You have the energy to work out 100%. When you haven't eaten
for yes.
Like how can you go work out if you haven't had anything to eat?
Bro, I'll get up in the morning. I will go walk for an hour with my wife. Like I will lift. I'll play full court basketball one-on-one. I mean, I'll do all that before I eat a single bit of food.
Because you still have the energy stored up eating? From the night before.
Yeah, and I drink a ton of water. I mean, that's why I'm always, you know, toting. Like I'm toting this and then I drink coffee. Like I'm going to drink coffee or two too. And coffee gives everybody energy. Like mm-hmm. unless you've like my wife where you've had too much of it and now you don't get as much. But I think that's more of an excuse. I need to, it's a mental thing. Like you can have plenty of energy to do that. You can still get, again, you still got to get calories. And that's what you can't do this if you're not planning it out and understanding what you're going to get into that day. Like, you know, tonight we have a lot of basketball. We have a JV basketball game, a girls varsity basketball game. Like, it's going to be a lot harder to eat. I'm going to have to bring food with me to the place. Like, I'm going to have to crush, like, while I'm about ready to coach a basketball game.
So, are you just, like, pigging out between 6 and 10 or 4 and 10? I mean, what are you eating? Are you eating anything? Or are you still, like...
I'm eating all my good stuff. My yogurts, my cottage cheese, I make this new casserole concoction that's really, really good.
You didn't smell it?
Wes said you didn't smell it when you walked in. It smells really good. I make this new casserole concoction where I dump 2 cartons of egg whites into a pan and then cut up chicken sausage and then put like 12 eggs and then I put it in a pan and I eat that all week. I mean, it's a huge pan that I put in the oven and then I'll eat on that all week long. And then, so I'll crush that.
Now, is Lindsay doing the same thing?
No, I'm trying to get her to though.
Yeah.
She's doing great, but she has some things she's working on. She wants to work on steps wise and stuff. But so this is the Family Goals Nutrition Podcast.
So let's get back. Here we go again. Not even getting into my notes, but I wanted to finish up just getting back to Lindsay. I want to ask people to pray for her. Pray for her, the tumor that she has in her brain. When you did share it with the kids, are there certain Bible verses that y'all are claiming around this? I mean, what's been kind of the theme of the prayers? What's been the, I know you're running to God, you're keeping your faith. Your faith is strong. It's increased. Has there been a certain Bible verse you're claiming or certain prayers that you're praying?
No, I don't think there's been a certain Bible verse. But I think that, you know, the one we have in our house is Joshua, like which everybody's going to, or Jeremiah. plans for you to prosper.
For I know the plans I have for you to flourish, Lord.
Yeah, and we have a sign of that in our house. Mm-hmm. Like, and we see that every day. So I think
no matter what, you're trusting his correct. Plan that he's sovereign. He's yeah. He's Lord. He's yeah. in control.
And I think that's a, you know, that's how we're going to walk out our faith, walk out our life. And that's like, I think just, it's always a good reminder. It's always good to be able to bring up things to the kids of, you know, like we're not owed anything. We're not deserved anything. Like, just because we do certain things doesn't mean it's going to mean a certain result, right? Like, you know, whether it's finances that you go through troubles with, whether it's health that you go through trouble with, whatever that is, like, I think the biggest thing we want to do is continue to show them, like, we're gonna show up. We're going to give God the glory. We realize that he's got us covered. You know, one thing that we sat down with the kids the other night, and Lindsay does such a great job with all this, but like we started talking about, it's so hard, and this is a whole nother topic, by the way, probably for another day, but like it's you want your kids to have a faith of their own. Mm-hmm. You want your kids to learn all this stuff. Well, you can only teach them so much. They're not ready to learn, so, like sports, so many people want to teach them so many things. They're not ready to learn it yet. Like, so it really doesn't matter. You can't just give it to them, right? They've got to go through those things and find it. And so, you know, we started a little notebook where if the kids want to get their phones, you know, in the mornings, if they want to get their phones that day, you know, like it has a Matthew 1. Like, you got to read Matthew 1. You got your notebook, Leah. Nicholas, you got your notebook. Take some notes on what you read in Matthew 1. You know, and we tried to emphasize, like, don't just check a box. You know, like, because we've done that. I've done that mm-hmm. for years. I've checked a box. Like, this is my reading plan. Bam. I checked it. And, like, I told them, I was like, let's try to read this and go, how can this affect my day today? Like, this is God's word, and I'm going through my day. How can I put it here where it'll help me be more successful throughout my day? And so, you know, we started that out of this. So it's showing them, it's loving on them, it's trying, but like, I'll be interested to hear parents. Like, we should get feedback, like on socials too, and comments of like, what works for your family? Like, mm-hmm. how are you getting your family worship? And we've talked about family worship before, but like, what are the things that have been successful to help them develop a walk on their own? Like, especially people that are, you know, it's a great example. You got Jolan, who's almost 30 now. How does that sound, by the way? Getting almost 30-year-old.
It's true. He's 27.
Like, yeah, but like having an almost 30-year-old, like what did we do that was very successful that we helped develop that walk of their own? Because a lot of us, like me and then younger, like they're mm-hmm. trying to figure those things out of how do we keep doing it? Because I tell people all the time that have younger kids is like, just let them hear the word. Like, let them hear it. Let them... Praise and worship is a huge deal in our house, man. Like, it's just a big deal. Mm-hmm. It's just everywhere we go. Like, and listen, in the some more than others, Chris Tomlin, like, is the straight word of God almost all the time. I talked to Chris, by the way. He's going to come on the show.
Chris Tomlin?
Yeah.
Sweet.
I think he'd be a good one to bring on.
Yeah, I like him.
Awesome dude. But, like, the more ways we can let them hear the word and they can see you loving and serving and being different and being unique is good. So this has provided some opportunities to... you know, reaffirm that.
Make so they sure. have to read a Bible passage before they can get their phone for mm-hmm. the day, and then you want them, they write something down?
Yeah, it's they each have their own notebook, and then they just write down what they took out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, and...
Do they also write down prayer requests, or is it just writing down
what... No, it's just writing down what they took from it. So we're trying to, like, again, we're trying to spark it where it's your own, and mm-hmm. they've been through different phases when they've done this with friends, and they've done a good job, but just anything we can to... you know, try yeah. to get them in that word and reading and growing and learning and taking ownership of it, which they're not taking ownership of it because we're making them do it, but we're trying to make it like where it's not too invasive and too like, oh crap, here we go again, these Bible thumper people. so it's a fine line.
Well, I do obviously. Think, let's put that out on social media. What are some things you do to develop your kids spiritually? Because I think... hearing fresh ideas, hearing what other people do, hearing what's
and then we can share them, yeah.
And then you and I could talk about them and share them yeah. because we
shoot, I can adopt them. I'd love it.
We've kind of done the same thing over and over again. So it'd be great to hear some fresh ideas and hear what other people are doing. Of course, our kids are in a different season of life. You know, right? They're adults. We still have Jesse, the
granddaughter,
the grandchild. at the house. So I want to close up this episode. Just appreciate you opening up about Lindsay and just letting the rest of the world know what y'all are going through. And I just want to ask everyone who listens to the Family Goals podcast to please be praying for Lindsay. I'm praying for her health. Pray that her tumor's cancer-free. It'd be great if we don't have to do anything with the tumor. Like it's in. Hopefully, she won't need to have it removed or any yep. more surgery. Like this is just something that the doctors are monitoring over the years.
Yep, no doubt.